Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome in Grant and Danny on this Thursday. December is 19 days old. We are less than a week away from Christmas.
God, they got here quick.
Locked into 106.7 The Fan. Still no Christmas spirit?
No. Too much to do. Too much to do.
Will there be any Christmas spirit before the big day?
No. Just too much to do. It's being an adult. Being an adult with kids is you're just doing work to make sure the kids are happy. And we're doing that. Happy to do it.
Looking forward to getting into the Redskins coaching search with you at 10:30. Todd McShay on Dan Patrick's show yesterday. Just eviscerating Washington.
Said a little bit.
Talking about how he would advise anybody he knows not to take this job and basically laid out some guidelines and prerequisites that he would suggest for any coaching candidates. And he's plugged in with a lot of them, by the way, on what they should dictate to the Redskins before they accepted Washington's job. So we'll get to that coming up in 25 minutes. Real quick, though, before we get into the A topic, which is at the NFL level, I should point out there is no Thursday Night Football tonight.
Right.
Disappointingly enough, I always look forward to Thursday Night Football. But because we have three Saturday games, we've reached the part of the schedule where we wait till the weekend now. You get the triple header a la Thanksgiving with the early evening and then your eventual night game on Saturday before the full slate on Sunday.
I always think they should do this at least a week earlier because the only college football game this past week was Army-Navy, and that's always during the day. I think they should do a Saturday night game in lieu of the Thursday night game a week ago, but that's a digression there. It is nice. It is nice just as it's this time of year. It tells you it's different, right? You got your standard Sundays. You got your standard Thursday through Sunday for 14, 15 weeks, and then they mix it up just to let you know season's different upon us, right? It's now time. It's now winning time. It's now definition time. It's now who's in and who's out time.
It's the most exciting time of the year when your team's a contender, and Redskins fans have experienced this many times over recently. Generally, they're in the middle of a hot stretch if they're competitive right now. But it's in 2015 when Cousins and Jordan Reed were going crazy, and this was actually the week where they played Philadelphia
right,
and were able to clinch to get into the playoffs. In 2017, you know, barreling down the stretch, they were still relevant at this point and had a chance to make the postseason. That's not the case this year, as
nope,
they're vying for one of the top three picks in the draft. But before we get to the NFL, wanted to talk Scott Boras and the amount of money he's made this offseason, because I actually saw this tabulated online today, and I've been wondering. In fact, Pete and I talked about this yesterday, funny enough. We were saying, what percent does he get? And we're trying to find it online. And
yeah, I know what the rules are.
So we were doing some of the math on, you know, he negotiated this contract and that contract. So everyone just wants to get into people's pockets, right? You want to know how much money the big agents in sports are making. So all the numbers are laid out here. Via Axios, I saw this. So Scott Boras has negotiated four deals this winter. Four deals worth a total of $878 million. Think about that.
Okay.
Garrett Cole to the Yankees for $324 million. Steven Strasburg back to the Nationals, $245 million. Anthony Rendon went to the Angels for $245 million. And Mike Moustakas, $64 million bucks, as he stayed in the middle of the country and navigated from one Central Division team to another. But you think about this now. You add all that up, Cole, Strauss, Rendon, Moose, $878 million. So according to the New York Post, he gets 5%. All you got to do is punch some numbers into a calculator. That means that Scott Boras, so far this offseason, has made $43.9 million negotiating those contracts.
That's good. That's good work if you can get it.
$43.9 million over the last few weeks.
Man.
You break it down by contract. When he called Garrett Cole to to tell him that the Yankees were going to pay him $324 million. There was actually a funny story told yesterday. I don't know if you heard this. But he basically said, hey, gee, Yankees are offering you. And he gave him the 9 and the 324. And he said it was just kind of quiet on the other end of the phone. And he thought Cole got disconnected. He goes, Garrett, you there? You're supposed to be screaming. Are you there? And he goes, I'm here. And he was just in shock. Like, he couldn't speak for a moment. When he made that call, Scott Boras, as soon as Cole agreed to that contract, made $16.2 million. Just like that.
Wait, do it again. So before, he has nothing.
Right. Garrett Cole, he's got a lot, actually.
Well, fair enough. On this deal, Garrett Cole goes, I agree to those terms. $16
million. $16 million. Steven Strasburg, when he re-signed with the Nats for
$245 million, yeah.
That means that Scott Boras made $12.25 million. Same amount he got from Rendon. And then on Moustakas' $64 million contract, Boras is reportedly going to see $3.2 million. It gets better for Boras, though. Think about this. He still has the 2019 Cy Young runner-up, Hyunjin Ryu,
yeah,
who's going to get a contract this offseason. He'll top Moustakas, so that's another handful of million bucks. He's still got 2015 AL Cy Young winner, Dallas Keuchel, who's going to get paid. He's still got outfielder Nick Castellanos coming off of a huge heater in the second half of the year.
He was unbelievable for the Cubs.
They're suggesting that Boras will exceed $1 billion in contracts this offseason. $1 billion in contracts, lifting his career agreements past $9 billion. Now, again, this is not my math. This is what I found here via Axios. But the point is,
just staggering.
$9 billion in earnings, maybe $1 billion this offseason. This is just the four contracts we're talking about, where he got $44 million on $878 million that he negotiated.
And then it gets you to the, into the larger picture of where baseball is in terms of economics, right? Nationally, you can't get people to watch big games. You can't. You can't watch Wednesday night baseball. Nobody's watching Sunday night baseball. People don't really watch the World Series or playoff games. But local markets are thriving in a way that is not only sustaining this game, but it's like a damn rocket ship in terms of the progress and the dollars that are changing hands. It really is remarkable.
I didn't realize that, looking back, Boras was the first agent to get a deal done in excess of $50 million in 1997 with Greg Maddux.
Mm-hmm.
So he's put in his time here.
Yeah.
I mean, he's earned it. This is a guy who grew up milking cows on his father's dairy farm in California, went and played college baseball at the University of Pacific, played 4 years in the minors, and then started his career as an agent. But after Maddux in 97, he had Kevin Brown top $100 million for the first time in 98.
Remember that deal.
Then he broke the $200 million barrier with Alex Rodriguez in 2000.
So it's crazy. You mentioned University of Pacific. That was a random series we had with them when I was in college. And there's a huge picture of him.
Oh, really?
As like a legendary figure in University of Pacific history. He was a pretty good player, but not
right,
like this. You know, not like you didn't know he was going to be a billionaire negotiating deals for people.
Five contracts north of $300 million. He's negotiated two of them. It's always fascinating to me, like the players that choose Boras and don't. I know fans think of him as evil, probably. You know, Nationals fans hear his name and
you bristle.
They bristle. They roll their eyes. They cringe because the term, the two words Scott Boras essentially mean to you free agency or that you're going to lose your player. He doesn't care about the Nats. He cares about making them money.
Right.
But if you're a player, wouldn't you want him to represent you? I mean, he's got his own way of doing it. There are other agents, I'm sure, that do it in a very different manner. But what's your goal? If you are invested in and care about making the most money possible during your career, which sounds selfish, but I'd say a lot of us think about that with our careers.
Sure. I mean, some guys don't want to have this perception on them. Because you can hear it in this simple little phrase. He's a Boras guy. Which carries a certain stigma, whether you want it to be or not. That certain stigma is he's about himself more than he is about whatever team that he's on. And in our marketplaces, in our places where fans are, I care more about the Nationals than individual X, Y, Z. Now, I'm fans of individual players, obviously, because they play for the Nationals, and I really, really like them, whether it's Harper or Rendon or Strasburg or whomever, right? But you realize that Scott Boras and his client are their own business. And that supersedes my fan interest of the Washington Nationals.
Right.
Right? And you don't like to face that. You see what I'm saying? It just is a reminder. I love the Nationals. While he's here, he loves the Nationals. But it could be the Nationals. It could be 29 other organizations that are willing
to pay. Just reading up from the other thing that they mentioned here, though, on the Boris Corp, and when you're talking about would you be repped by him or somebody else, you know, a lot of guys are repped by someone they've been with since they were in high school. And mm-hmm. I think there's a romantic element to that, and that's really cool. And, you know, you were advised coming out of high school by this person who might only have three clients. And I always respect players who do it that way. But you think about the juxtaposition of that agent who's working real hard to rep five guys and kind of makes a living doing that. The Boris Corporation has 135 employees. They've got researchers. They've got their own scouts.
Oh, yeah.
They have, obviously, lawyers, but psychologists. They have emissaries in countries, including Japan, Venezuela, and the Dominican Republic. I mean, this is it goes without saying, he might make $1 billion this offseason, but it's this billion-dollar entity. Whereas if you're just a mom-and-pop agent
right.
who's just trying to go, hey, I represent this guy who I went to college with, I'd love to rep you, good luck competing against him.
So for a minute, CAA and Brody Van Wagenen, now the GM of the Mets, were almost rivaling Boris. Right? They were the flavor of the month. I mean, they negotiated that ridiculous Robinson Cano deal
in Seattle.
They did well for Zim. I mean, they've done a lot of great deals. So they were the flavor of the month, but always Boris. Boris is always there. He's the dependable one. He's the guy that's going to continue to just push this thing into the stratosphere.
He's the man when it comes to agents.
Yep.
I mean, whether you like him or not, he's got a really powerful and influential program built and established, and he is making all the money this offseason. We're Grant and Danny. We are just underway on 106.7 The Fan. Next, there are four NFL teams on the brink of clinching division titles. We will rank the likeliness that they do in this weekend's games. Next, right here on Grant and Danny. Week 16 gets started in just 2 days. Playoff spots up for grabs all weekend long. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. As December chugs along, now 6 days from Christmas. Much appreciate you listening to the program as always. We're on Twitter. You can find Danny at Funny Danny.
At Grant H. Paulson for Grant H. Paulson. That H is critical because a regular Grant Paulson on Twitter is a bad Twitter follow. Grant H. Paulson, good Twitter follow.
More of a non-existent Twitter follow, but also a bad
that's
one.
That's part of my point. He doesn't do anything.
There was a big story that a bunch of people sent me a while ago, and Dar, I'm going to have to get you to dig on this for me, if you would, as our resident technological and all things social media expert here on Grant and Danny. Supposedly, they're going to be booting all of the people off Twitter who haven't used it in years so that you can take the Twitter name that you want.
Whoa.
That directly relates to me.
Are you going to move? Are you going to make a move?
I think I would. If I could get the H removed and just be Grant Paulson and no longer go by Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
You better make sure that you can keep that blue check mark.
Oh, would you have to get rid of the blue check mark?
Yeah, if you change your handle, you would lose the check mark. You would have to get re-verified. So you would have to notify Twitter that you want to take that new Twitter handle.
Is there a perk to having a blue check mark that I would lose?
Very much so, yes.
For one,
your mentions would be completely different. You would be out in the Wild West in your mentions.
Well, that's possible.
Really?
Yes.
That's why?
What did you find, Dar? Anything?
So Twitter canceled that idea.
I'm sorry. Good. All right.
Yeah, so don't worry about it.
That's the end of that.
False alarm.
And that's today.
The latest in the Twitter changes.
There we go. Yes.
I mean, if one person sent me that, it was all within 24 hours. I'd say 50 people did. They're like, dude, you can get rid of the H.
You can get it.
It's like, thank you so much.
I mean, I think that H now is a brand. I mean, you got 100,000 followers. I mean, that's part of who you are.
Here's the problem is when people come up to you, though, occasionally, and they'll go, are you Grant Paulson?
Grant.
And I'll say, yep, I'm Grant Paulson.
Grant. That's never happened, has it?
Oh, it's happened a bunch of times.
Stop it.
100%
A human being has said to you, are you Grant?
I swear to you it's happened. If I had to guess within five or I die, 35 times.
No.
Yes.
In your life, a human being has done
absolutely.
This. Bit or not a bit? Was it worker shooed?
I'm sure. Well, I would say sometimes people do it as a bit like, hey, Grant, you know, whatever. And I'm like, hey.
Hey.
But, yeah, people have regularly said, or someone will introduce me, and they're like, this is Grant Paulson. He's on the radio. And I'm like, that guy thinks my name is Grant.
I'm without speech.
Tom doesn't buy it. He's shaking his head. I'm just telling you. I swear to you.
Here's why I don't buy that necessarily. It says Grant Paulson.
It does.
As the name of the human being in question.
It does.
There's clearly a Twitter handle that's different. My name is not funny. You know what I mean? Like,
Why are you upset at me?
I'm not mad at you.
I'm just relaying the information.
I'm upset at this universe that's out here. I'm pointing it everywhere. You didn't do anything wrong.
I promise you this happens regularly. And if you want, the next time it happens, I can...
Please document it in some
way. I can call you or get the person on video.
Yeah, you need to video it and tweet it out.
Okay.
Grinth.
I will do that.
Somebody has gone, this is it. I have it.
Grinth. Paulson. 100%. It has absolutely happened. And not like a couple of times.
Right.
I won't say regularly. It's certainly not regularly, but I would say several times a football season as long as I can remember.
I don't know.
You gonna be all right over there?
I am floored.
All right, let's move along then.
I'm floored.
Let's leave that on the floor and let's chug along to
Grinth.
Four teams being on the brink of clinching a playoff spot as a division champion in the NFL. So here are your four clubs that could this weekend win their division. The Packers, if they beat the Minnesota Vikings, win the NFC North. The Patriots, if they top the Buffalo Bills, those are the similar matchups because it's one versus two, where two is one game back and could catch one. The Patriots and the Bills playing this weekend, a New England win means they are again the AFC East champions. Meanwhile, in the AFC South, the Texans are one victory away from clinching. They play the Bucks. And in the NFC East, Cowboys-Eagles is kind of fun. A Dallas W this weekend and their division champions.
Mm-hmm.
If the Eagles beat the Cowboys on Sunday, they then a week from now have to win and they are in as the division champions. If they lose and Dallas wins, they could still miss out on the playoffs. So Philly's got more of a hill to climb. All Dallas has to do is win and it's in. So Packers, Cowboys, Texans, Patriots, those are the four teams that could win their division this weekend. So here's the question we will pose to you now on Grant and Danny. We want to know, of those four teams, who is most likely to clinch a division title this weekend with a win? Packers over the Vikings, Patriots over the Bills, Cowboys topping the Eagles, or the Texans beating the Bucks? Danny, give me your number one most likely team to win a title this weekend.
Despite what Vegas says, as Russell calls them, the boys in Vegas, some of these odds are I found puzzling. We'll get to that more in a second here. I've got the most confidence in Houston, and that may be stupid. I just think Tampa Bay is going to go all down its leg. I think turnovers are going to happen. It'll be a fun game. He's a fun guy. It'll be a big shootout, but everybody's going to get well, and I think Houston wins this game and finally looks at their fist. They're the division champions. They're the best team in that division. Just please act like it at some point.
Wow. You know what's amazing about that is if I'm ranking all four, this would be my number four confidence level.
I know.
If we're doing the bit where you get four confidence points for the game you're surest about and one for the one you're least sure about, I'm giving 1 point to the Texans just because of the way the Bucs have been playing. You saw what they did to Detroit.
I did.
They beat them by three touchdowns. They hung 38 on the Lions this past weekend. You know what they did a week before that? They hung 38 on the Colts.
They could score some points.
You know who's leading the NFL in passing yards right now?
Jameis.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
By the way, any idea how many passing yards he has just top of your head? I couldn't believe this today.
Like 42, 4,300?
He's over 4,500.
Is that 45?
He's might throw for 5,000 yards this year.
He's going to throw for 5,000.
That's outrageous.
He's going to throw for 5,000. He'll throw for 36 touchdowns and 28 interceptions.
So the Bucs have won four straight. And in that time, they've scored 35 on Atlanta, 28 on Jacksonville, 38 on Indy, and 38 on Detroit. So I think the Texans have problems this weekend. They are not my answer. I'm going with the Cowboys. After seeing the way they played the Rams, that was what they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That was Dak Prescott making plays out of the pocket, mobility with his feet extending, and then making accurate throws downfield. Jason Witten in the red zone. Ezekiel Elliott running crazy. When he was on the sideline, Pollard came in and did the exact same thing. Their offensive line dominated the line of scrimmage, owned the Rams front. Dallas, I think, is going to destroy the Eagles this weekend. I think this will be like a 31-14 kind of game where they win going away. Give me Dallas as the most likely team to punch its ticket.
I just have no trust in Dallas. I agree with you. I saw what you saw, and I'm going, oh, there it is. But I got enough of a sample that they'll just not play well. I have no idea what to expect. They're my number three team.
By the way, we took the two smaller favorites of the four,
I know.
According to Vegas.
I know.
Vegas has the Cowboys as 2.5-point favorites over the Eagles, so mm-hmm. I took that's the smallest of these four games. You went Texans, who are only -3 over the Bucs.
That's right.
Meanwhile, the two teams that Vegas likes the most, surprise me, They actually have the Packers as 5.5-point dogs to the Vikings without Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that betting line.
That's the one that I don't get. So I've got them fourth in terms of confidence, talking about Green Bay. They're my last ranked of the four. I don't know what I don't know about this.
I've got them third and the Patriots second. Where's New England for you?
Patriots are second.
So okay.
I think Patriots is a touchdown favorite. I think this is the slipper finally comes off of Buffalo. New England has been sort of messing around, hasn't played well. They're at home. Division clinching game. It's
but that's going to be a close game just because New England can't move the ball or score, and the Bills' defense is great.
Bills' defense is the truth. I think this is go time. I think this is the everybody that's kicked dirt on the Patriots, they're going to be the AFC title game again.
If the Bills beat the Patriots, you know what it's going to mean. The lights are getting turned on in New England, right? I mean, the party's starting to wind down. People are walking out the door and waving and putting on their pea coats. They're turning in that ticket, and they're getting their jackets back.
Wouldn't that be delightful? It's been time. That fan base deserves 100 years of abject failure. It's time. It's time for kids and their kids and their kids to do nothing but lose.
So give me your four in order.
Houston 1, Pats 2, Dallas 3, Green Bay 4.
Okay. My ranking is Cowboys beat the Eagles. Very, very sure about that. Patriots over the Bills. I just don't see Buffalo's offense doing enough. Packers and the Vikings. I think Minnesota's good, but no Dalvin Cook is a dagger. He, like their quarterback, is an MVP candidate. And then fourth is the Texans over the Bucs. I love the way Tampa Bay's playing. And
they're
I can't
well.
Unsee that Texans game of a couple weeks ago where they had some major issues defending the pass. Now they go up against the league-leading passer in Jameis Winston in terms of yards. So Cowboys, Patriots, Packers, Texans. We didn't really get into that Vikings-Pack game. We could do that next. But you guys answer this question for us. If only one of these four teams wins the game it needs to win its division, who's it going to be? 800-636-1067. And if only one team doesn't, which is that club that you'd have no confidence in to finalize itself as a playoff team and a division champion this weekend? G&D on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 1067 the Fan. What is the next thing to do on your Christmas week of to-do list?
Nail down the gift for the wife.
You still haven't hammered that out?
So it's complicated. I cannot say too much, lest it get back to her. This is a public medium, after all. But we know what we're doing. We've got it all sort of locked in, but there are certain details that have to be worked out. That's as much as I can say.
Putting this shirt on the ironing board? And
yes.
We are ironing them until
yes.
They are complete.
So selections have been made. It's a matter. I've said too much. But I will. It will be handled. It's not one of those. I'm not in the like. I don't know what to do. I gotta go to the mall. Like I'm not in that spot. By the way, how did your mall experience go the other day? Where you just went to the mall?
Mall
with an
experience
open book?
Was pretty good. That was yesterday, by the way.
That was 2 days ago.
Was it 2 days ago?
I thought it was 2 days ago.
I don't remember now.
I don't remember either. This is why.
Well, the reason I say that is because I was at the mall yesterday as well. But maybe 2 days ago I was there too. Now I don't remember.
No, I don't remember either. But you're.
Here's what I do know. I was walking in Target yesterday, and there was a young couple, probably the age of me and my wife, young 30s, not quite in the mode like of your age group where you have like older kids who walk on their own, 40-year-old, but this was like younger baby in a stroller kind of deal. And I'm walking past and this woman's looking at an item and she goes, "Yeah, I just want to ask them what the difference is." And then the guy goes, "The difference is $5." Like just so annoyed. And she goes, "No, I just want to ask them because this one seems different than that one." And he goes, "The difference is $5. And I'm like walking by and I'm like, "Oh my God, I've had that conversation before. That's so funny." And the guy goes, "Hey man." And he was a listener. Just really, really funny because it's very clear we have a lot in common probably. We're just sports fans who don't want to be at Target, you know. But he literally goes, "The difference is $5. So if you're listening right now.
What's up, $5?
I've been there before. So I know about that game.
Was it you and me? No, it may not have been you and me. But we had an interview with a former Redskin where we were doing this. We were asking questions about the team, and like he wanted to be an analyst and stuff, and that was fine. We welcomed him on the program. We asked him, like, what's the most important thing for the team to win this weekend, right? Because they're facing this matchup. Like, what's the key? Establish the run, throw the ball early, force a turnover. Yeah. Normal answers you'd expect. And in the most dismissive, like if if Dar was in a terrible mood for 27 days, didn't sleep, and we had challenged him on every single thing that he had done that day for six consecutive hours.
Right.
The most dismissive he could be, like turned all the way up.
It's like the dryer at 80 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, like the most dismissive possible. The guy goes, when I said, what's the key to them winning this weekend? He goes, score more points than the other team. Dead air for about 6 seconds. And said, okay, thanks very much for joining us, man. A minute into the what was supposed to be a 12-minute segment.
Wasn't me.
I know, yeah, it wasn't us. It wasn't us. I'll write the name down for you.
I think I know the name.
You know who it is?
I think you've told me this story before.
Yeah, I told it. I was kind of like,
wait, link that back to what I was talking about?
So the, like when you're dismissive, what's the difference? I want to know what the,
oh,
it's $5.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that, but I want to know the two items. That,
well, he just
$5.
Didn't want to be a target anymore.
Right. He wanted to be done with that
pretty
conversation.
Pretty clear to me. Tom in Manassas wants to chime in. There are four teams that could win their divisions this weekend. The Packers could beat the Vikings. The Cowboys could top the Eagles. The Pats could hang on more points on the Bills, and the Texans could outdo the Bucks. Who's going to be the team to win their division?
Hey, morning, boys. Hey, Bob. Hey, Grant and Donnie. Nobody wants to do it, but I'm going to shovel some dirt on the Patriots. If you look at their wins this year, they've beaten the NFC East. They barely beat Philly and Dallas. Two wins against the Jets, a win against the Dolphins. They beat the Bills earlier on a block punt for a touchdown. Their losses against good teams have been bad. They're anemic. Bills are playing good ball right now, so it's a changing of the guard. Danny, like you said, turn the lights up. It's time to go home. You guys can have 30 years of losing, but I just can't believe people are still high on this team.
But
I know
don't
the
you
history,
see, Tom,
but...
don't you see them doing that thing where, of course, they played badly for a little while and every New England columnist writes the epitaph about how Tom Brady's
but
not any good
know
anymore?
But you know that eventually, just because they've always done it doesn't mean they'll do it this time. This is not as good an offense as those other
groups.
And I feel like the teams in years past have been better. And, dude, I know what you mean, Danny. Like, all of a sudden, Belichick turns the switch and they're playing a different ball game, but... Man, it's hard to see right now. That offense is bad.
It is
and
bad.
That Bills defense is lights out right now. Josh Allen's making some plays. I know it's crazy, but I this is it. The time has finally come.
I hope so.
Thanks,
I hope
Tom.
The bell rings.
You know, he makes a really good point, though, because I'm looking now at the schedule. Their resume is worse than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have just said, what do you think of the Patriots' wins this year? I'd have said, oh, they're not that impressive, but they're worse than I thought. I'm just going to run through it here, rapid fire for you, with recency all the way back to the beginning of the season. They dominated the Bengals, as they should, but that was a close game for a couple quarters. They lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Texans, two good teams they played. They barely beat the Cowboys. They barely beat the Eagles. They got crushed by the Ravens. Remember that game?
Destroyed.
By 17. They dominated the Browns. They dominated the Jets. They dominated the Giants. They dominated the Redskins. They beat the Bills, but that loss for Buffalo was close, and it was a game that was in the balance the entire way.
Winnable game for Buffalo.
That's their one good win we've talked about so far, by the way. They dominated the Jets, they dominated the Dolphins, and they crushed the Steelers in week one. That's their season. They have one impressive win, and it was a 16-10 arm wrestling match with Buffalo.
3-3 in their last six games. All the signs are pointing to their demise. Vegas has them as a 7-point favorite, and I have no numbers-based defense. I have no performance-based defense for this season. All I have is that true evil never dies, and the Patriots are playing in December. Like, they're going to figure it out. I have the utmost confidence in Bill Belichick. I have confidence in Tom Brady and company just rising from the ashes once again.
What I can't quite figure is why are the Vikings 5.5-point favorites
on Green
that. Bay?
What do we not understand?
So Minnesota at home is a different team. They are great in Minneapolis. So we'll start with that. You're normally a 3-point favorite at home. And if you want to tell me that the really good home teams like them, you may even give 4 points if you're Vegas.
Okay.
I could get on board with something like that. But I still think on a neutral site, Green Bay would be favored by 2 or 3 points. So at worst, that would mean that they're 1 or 2 point favorites. Dalvin Cook's not playing. Take him out of the equation. His backup, Madison, is also banged up. That doesn't help the cause. Thielen has been back for one game, was just okay this past week. Their defense is not as good as Green Bay's. I have a hard time believing that on a neutral site, Vegas thinks the Vikings are better than the Packers, but they're saying that right now. Without Dalvin Cook, that shouldn't be the case. Now, maybe they haven't accounted for that yet, but 5.5 points? This is one of the more surprising lines to me of the second half of the season.
Case for the Packers here. Aaron Jones is a baller, okay? He does everything. He's Amon Green 2.0, okay? And Davante Adams is getting healthier. Now, I know he's limited in practice this week, but when Adams is available, it changes everything for Green Bay's offense. They haven't done the, 40-point showcase game since they beat the hell out of Oakland, I think, sometime in October. But they're very capable, I still think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Vegas doesn't believe this, but I still think they're capable of winning a shootout. They just haven't had to because defensively they're playing well, they run the ball good enough, and they're limiting their exposure. Just to me, this team is really, really good. Minnesota has elements of good. I feel like Green Bay is a better squad. But let's say
they beat Minnesota earlier this year, to your point, and they have led the division the entire way.
You give Minnesota the benefit of the doubt because they're at home. I still don't understand how you get to 5.5.
Same.
Call it a pick 'em at worst. Like, okay, fine, I can see that.
2 hours from now, Carl Hagelin of the Capitals at 12:45 today for his weekly appointment. Looking forward to that. Next, Todd McShay crushed the Redskins on the Dan Patrick Show as it pertains to their coaching search. You'll want to hear this audio on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Todd McShay was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, and the Redskins coaching search came up kind of in an incidental, almost, oh, by the way, manner, mid-answer. Want to let you hear this audio because it is damaging to Washington. Now, I'll say this before we play it. With all due respect to Todd McShay, plugged in, knows a lot of coaches, certainly speaks to a lot of people at the college level. It's just a guy's opinion, right? I mean, at the end of the day, Todd McShay thinking the Redskins are a joke doesn't really mean a whole lot.
Well, I would say it means more than the guy at Safeway.
To me,
it means a little bit more than it does to you, because I think that where he compiles his rankings, he's the college scout guy, right? Who tells you, where's this big board? Where's this guy going? Where's this guy going? A lot of that is his own scouting, but a lot of that also is talking to personnel guys. A lot of that is talking behind the scenes to what teams are thinking in terms of where they evaluate a player or otherwise. So he's got a lot of contacts in front offices around the league. So I would say it's got some weight to it.
Sure. I mean, I think we've heard from dozens of people that have a lot of contacts around the league. Albert Breer is talking to people in front offices every single day.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the show. He's clubbed the Redskins. Michael Lombardi's worked in 3 or 4 front offices. He came on. There was blood on his hands when he was done talking about Bruce Allen during our 10-year anniversary, 4-hour special. Going back a couple days ago, which, by the way, if you missed it, you got to go to thefandc.com/audio and podcast. Some of our segments, including playing office golf. Dar had the hole of a lifetime. Really an impressive display from him.
Unbelievable.
We played Kirk versus Kurt. What would you call the game where we read off all the GM's names and they got to sit down one at a time?
It's the, I don't know how to
like
say
an
it.
Anniversary?
The anniversary party game.
Party game?
Yeah, it's an anniversary party game.
It was a great show. We really enjoyed ourselves. This was Todd McShay on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday.
There are about 8 or 9 teams that potentially could have interest in quarterbacks.
Is Washington sold on Dwayne Haskins?
Who are you asking? The owner?
Well, the owner I know is. But if I'm a coach, the coach you get has got to be sold on him as well, or he's not taking that job.
So I've been holding back from calling Urban this week, wondering what he was doing in the box. If the current structure, I couldn't allow a friend to take the job without saying something. Now, if you get a new general manager...
Wait, are you the friend Urban to tell him not to take this job?
I'm just saying hypothetically.
okay.
If any friend out there who potentially could be taking that job, I would make the phone call and say, make sure you get a football guy who's in between the owner and you. And that you can completely run the football stuff. You can make the decisions. I mean, that's the issue. Right now, under the current construct, Washington can't succeed. They need Daniel Snyder to take a step back. They need to hire a general manager that knows football and can evaluate players. And then they need a coach who can, take those players and develop them.
Would you rather coach Washington or Dallas?
Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, between those two, I'd rather coach Carolina, I think, than I would Dallas. But, you know, I just...
I'd rather coach any team in... I'd rather coach 31 other teams.
Than Washington?
Than Washington right now.
Don't sugarcoat it.
Todd McShay on the Dan Patrick Show. This made the rounds yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think people seem to care more about this than other media personalities of the same or even higher profile? Is it just because of how damaging or, you know, how candid he was?
Yeah, it's put very plainly in the, you know, whereas like when Breer does it, he's careful. He's like, well, some people might have issues with the structure. Todd McShay's going, this is the worst job in the NFL. I wouldn't allow a friend to do it. These are more forceful words. You could read between the lines with the normal reports. Of course, any reasonable human being would go, hey, they haven't been successful 21 years under that owner. He's hired two yes men boobs to be human buffers, and it never works. And the guy who's who's the snake in the front office always seems to play the blame game and get somebody fired. Probably don't want to go there if that's the case. Everybody can read between the lines and they figured it out. That's the strongest language we've heard on that front, right? That's the plainest we've heard it.
He said there are 31 jobs he would take before the Redskins. It's a good punchline. It sounds good. Is that the case? I mean, is that true? Are there 31 better jobs than Washington right now? I think we can all agree without thinking about it, without debating, that there are maybe, 25 to 27, something like that. But there are some other really bad jobs in the NFL. Like, here's one. Right now, this moment, to go to Cincinnati to coach the Bengals, they hired Zach Taylor,
mm-hmm.
who was a McVay disciple. They're 1-13. They're going to have the first overall pick. They're going to take Joe Burrow. I would say that Cincinnati, that hadn't won a playoff game since way before the Redskins last won theirs, you're going back decades for their last playoff win, could be a worse job than Washington, but with the number one overall pick and Joe Burrow coming in, they move past Washington, right?
Well, they do, but here's the second reason why. I know Mike Brown's the GM, and he's terrible at it. He's really bad at GMing. Yeah, he's the owner.
He's the Jerry Jones.
You're going to get some time. Here in Washington, what typically happens, Jay Gruden's the exception. You're going to be blamed when it doesn't go well, and the scapegoat, and you're going to get fired. You're going to be embarrassed, and you're not going to come out clean on the other side.
I don't know. I get what you're saying, and I know that that's the general refrain. I don't know that it's fair anymore because the last coach just got an extension in 6 years.
He did. He's the exception of the rule.
So to say that you're not going to get any time, I just don't know if that is any more accurate. Possibly. People say, oh, the guy before him got 2 years. He should have gotten 2 years. Jim Zorn should have never been hired.
Right.
To just stick with him so that you could say you had continuity would have been the bad thing to do as well. He was unprepared, and he was not worthy of the job.
Well, let me rephrase it then.
And the guy before that left on his own.
Right. It may not just be about time. This is the most toxic environment there is.
Fair.
So that to me hasn't changed. So maybe you do get a couple more times. Cleveland's bad, certainly.
Is that as bad as Washington? Now I know you're inheriting more talent.
Not with John Dorsey there. I mean, this was a mistake. The Freddie Kitchens thing was a mistake. That was bad.
But that is a flawed, you use the word toxic, which I like. There is toxicity there. I mean,
there is.
That is a gross cultural organization that it's the reverse car wash as well. Dorsey's going to come out of there looking worse than he did going in. Freddie Kitchens probably gets blown out. Would you want to be the guy they hire next year? I wouldn't want to be.
It wouldn't be my first choice, but I would still rank it a million miles ahead of the Redskins, mostly because of the Dorsey presence.
I'm trying to think of other teams that are just rotten from the inside out.
Detroit is a zoo. The Jets are terrible.
Detroit to me is... Is Detroit a laughing stock? I mean, they're bad at football, but that's different than I'm talking about class clownery. I'm talking about embarrassment in the locker room and constant turmoil. I don't think of Detroit like I do the Redskins or the Bengals or the Browns or the Jets.
In Detroit, I'm just throwing out the teams that are bad.
Yeah.
Just in terms of they can never seem to get right, never seem to win, always, under-deliver. Jacksonville's a mess at the moment, I would say.
Okay, there's a good one. Jacksonville right now might be a worse job than the Redskins, and here's why. I think you could have a real problem bringing in players after the NFLPA essentially told its constituents, do not go there. That medically, we have a Trent Williams issue as far as the medicals, and he has made it, I think, damaging on a national level. So that people are worried about the Redskins training staff, and my guess is that they're going to clean house at the end of the year potentially. But in Jacksonville, you've got seven or eight guys who have left, some who are still there on social media, killing the team, mm-hmm. killing the medical part. You got the NFLPA saying X percent of all of the gripes in the last year.
A quarter of them.
A quarter were from Jacksonville. Now, they're going to clean house completely. And if their medical staff is out and they already fired Tom Coughlin, their team president, you know, they're getting rid of their head coach at the end of the year, Marone. I would think their GM, Dave Caldwell's out as well. If they start over again with a clean slate and the people that were doing the nefarious things supposedly are gone, then I don't think that's a worse job than the Redskins. But this second, it might be.
At the moment, now that they've gotten rid of Coughlin and they've kind of pinned their statement very, very much pinned it on Coughlin and said, these other guys are fine, Caldwell and Marone, you mentioned. We'll see if they do survive the rest of the season. Maybe they're on kind of a double-secret probation sort of thing. But to me, that's still a better job than Washington. I get your point that it's toxic right now and it's tough to get free agents, but that to me was a Coughlin thing. I mean, and for those that don't know the story, the amount of fines that they levied for things that you can't find, and they basically said, challenge us, and they did, and they lost to an arbiter. Things like Leonard Fournette being fined $99,000 for sitting on the bench when he was on injured reserve at the end of 2018. Sitting on the bench. He sat on the bench during the game. He was fined by Coughlin almost $100,000 for that. They've gotten rid of that. So they're saying, no, this was a Coughlin thing. He's the lunatic. And they moved on. I don't know. It's not a great job by any stretch of the imagination, but I still don't think it matches the toxicity of the Washington Redskins.
Here's the question for you guys. Will the Redskins be able to hire who they want, yes or no? When they zero in on a name and they make the offer and they back up the Brinks truck, will they be able to get their guy, yes or no? There have been times in the past where they did, Mike Shanahan, Joe Gibbs. There have been times where they didn't, and they had to go to Jim Zorn because Jim Fossil and one guy after another said, no, I'm not taking the job. 800-636-1067 is the number, 800-636-1067. When the Redskins extend an offer to a head coaching candidate they like, are they in a position where that person will say yes? That's the question on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.